If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to Romans chapter 12. We'll get there in a few minutes. This morning, we continue our pursuit of the truth. One says this, Scripture teaches that God is truth. When the Son of God became a human in Jesus, He came full of grace and truth. Speaking to Thomas at the Last Supper, Jesus announced that He was the way and the truth and the life. Everything Jesus spoke was the truth. His words were not only His own, He spoke what the Father desired. Therefore, because we know that God is trustworthy and that God and Jesus are full of truth, we can be assured that no word of Christ will fail. In the same way, we can trust the words of the Bible. If God is truth, then His words in the Bible are true. There are no lies. There are no mistakes. There are no guesses in God's Word. Scripture is founded in God's supreme wisdom and knowledge and in God's truth. The completely truthful nature of God means that God is, in fact, the very foundation of truth. Nothing outside of God's design is true, and there is nowhere else truth can be found. St. Augustine wrote that wherever truth is found, it belongs to God. All truth is God's truth. The conclusion, and really even better to say the application of that then for us. In today's world, it can be difficult to know what is true. So many voices clamor for our attention and claim to have the right answer, the true answer. Truth is so important to our society and in relationships. It's necessary for trust. It's necessary for justice. So how do we pick through the lies and find the truth? In order to know the truth, we must know God. When we immerse ourselves in Him and in His Word and cultivate a relationship with Him through prayer and His Word, we will find that we can discern the truth from lies because we will become transformed into a person more and more like Jesus. Here it is. As we remain in Him and His Word, we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. That's it. That's really it for us. A pursuit of truth? Well, yes, but more so, a pursuit of Him who is the truth. A pursuit of His Word, which is the foundation of truth. More so than ever before, as this world gets darker and darker, as the deception becomes greater and greater, more so than ever before, we need the truth. Listen now, we need Him. And we need His Word for the sake of truth, that we might hear the truth, that we might believe the truth, that we might live in the truth. We have immersed ourselves in Scripture, searching out the truth of it, and sharing those truths then with one another. It's been the message from me, sharing truth with you each and every Sunday, but with that, it's been you sharing the truth with us. As we've done since early in the beginning of our series, The Truth This Morning from Your Church Family. One shared 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the truth. That is what He has done for us. A new birth. A living hope, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. That's the truth. Your reward is in heaven where nothing can touch it. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. That's the truth too. Until safely home with Him, we are safely shielded by Him. The person who shared the verse included this. It doesn't matter what you go through here on earth. God's power will help you through it. That's the truth. Hear that truth. Believe that truth. Live in that truth. My brother, my sister, another share, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Listen, hear me this morning. It's the truth. As you hope in the Lord, my brother, my sister, live in that truth. You hear it, you believe it. Now hope in the Lord. Live in Him. Soar on wings like eagles. Run and don't get weary. Walk and never faint. Once more, let me thank you for sharing God's truth. And once more, let me encourage you to continue to do that homework of sharing God's truth with one another. This morning, in just a few minutes, we'll gather at the Lord's table in preparation for that and for our truth this morning. Let me take just a few minutes to remind you of what Jesus, by way of His life, by way of His death, by way of His resurrection, what Jesus has done for us. Just a reminder this morning. He's forgiven and He forgives us of all our sin. I think our tendency, our perspective, our experience when we hear forgiveness, when we think of forgiveness, we think of a verbal expression. And we think of an internal activity, if you will, a letting go, right? Someone hurts me. Someone offends me. But then comes and asks forgiveness from me. And this, the process, my response. What I say, I forgive you. And what I do inside, I let that go. I don't hold that against them anymore. I don't let that to be a barrier in relationship anymore. The reality, though, that doesn't fully capture what Jesus has done for us. His forgiveness, it's not just a verbal, I forgive you, though it is that. If you need forgiveness this morning, you'll ask of Him and He'll respond to you, I forgive you. His forgiveness, it's not just an internal letting go. I won't hold this against you, though it is that. Listen, my brother, my sister, you've been forgiven by Him. He doesn't think less of you. He's not angry with you. He's removed that sin from you as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't hold it against you. He doesn't remember it. But still, His forgiveness is more. At Calvary, Jesus didn't just say, I forgive you. At Calvary, Jesus didn't just decide, I won't hold this against you. Listen, at Calvary, Jesus took your sin away from you and put it on Himself. God will never overlook sin. He cannot. He's holy. And because He is, sin must be dealt with. Sin must be punished. Listen, no sin goes unpunished. It can't. It never will. Because God's holy. The sin has to be dealt with. The sin will be dealt with. At Calvary, Jesus took your sin. He took it away from you. He put it all on Himself. And in doing so, He bore the punishment of your sin. One writes the following. In a concentration camp, a guard announced a shovel was missing. Screaming at the men, he kept insisting someone had stolen it. He shouldered his rifle, ready to kill one prisoner at a time until a confession was made. As the story continues, a Scottish soldier broke ranks, stood stiffly at attention, and said, I did it. The guard immediately killed the man. As they returned to camp, the shovels were counted. The guard had made a mistake. No shovel was missing after all. the author asks, who does that? What kind of person would take the blame for something he didn't do? Who does that? Jesus does. Do you understand his forgiveness at Calvary? He takes your sin away from you. He doesn't just say, I forgive you. He doesn't just sort of wave the magic wand, if you will, and your sin is gone. He doesn't just decide, you know what? I'm going to let that go and things are going to be okay between me and you. I'm going to pretend like that never happened. No, at Calvary, he takes your sin away from you and he puts it on himself. At Calvary, he bears the full weight of God's wrath against your sin. At Calvary, he endures your eternal hell, the punishment for your sin. At Calvary, he does that for you. Takes the blame for something he did not do. In Luke chapter 5, a few friends lower a paralytic through the roof to the feet of Jesus. The Lord responds to the man laying at his feet, son, your sins are forgiven. This angers the religious leaders. But then Jesus heals the man. Get up and walk, and he does. And now everyone is amazed. Can I tell you this morning, they had it all backwards. In fact, what should have truly amazed them, not that a paralytic would walk, but rather that a holy God would forgive him of his sin. He does. He's forgiven and he forgives us of our sin. All of our sin. Really, it's still even more. He's our Savior. He saves us from our sin. He redeems us from our slavery to sin. He sets us free from our bondage to sin. This is what Jesus has done for us. Just the reminder. I understand this morning. Just the reminder. This is what Jesus has done for you. He's forgiven and he forgives us of all of our sins. Just the reminder this morning. He's made us brand new. Once we were his enemies. Now because of Jesus, we've been made friends of God. Better, in fact, really more importantly, in fact, we've been made children of God, joint heirs with Jesus. You've been made brand new. Once an enemy, no, that's the old. You've been made brand new. You're a friend of God. Listen, can I just be honest with you this morning? Full disclosure, can I ask you, my brother, my sister, why do you walk around still like an enemy of God? Still shirking in fear. He's going to get me. If I mess up, if I do wrong, he's out to get me. Why, my brother, my sister? You're a friend of God. Why, my brother, my sister, are you still walking in the old when you've been made brand new? You're not an enemy anymore. You're a friend. You're not an enemy anymore. You're a son. You're a daughter. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin. Listen now. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the rule of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who's now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you've been saved. We used to be dead, but now we're brand new. We've been made alive. We used to belong to this world, to Satan. We used to live in the darkness. We used to be, by very nature, objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, He's saved us. He's made us alive. He's brought us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves. He's brought us into the life and into the light. He's made us brand new. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a brand new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Just a reminder this morning. Hold to the reminder of what Jesus has done for you. He's made you to be a new creation, no longer identified by who you used to be or what you used to do. You're brand new in Him. Brand new in this, our old way of life. We were sinners and sinful. Now, brand new. We're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. A brand new life. When God looks at us, that's what He sees. He sees Jesus. Us clothed in His righteousness, all because of what Christ did for us at Calvary, all because of His life, His death, His resurrection. It's what we remember this morning of Jesus. I know our tendency, we don't forget. I know people's tendency, they don't forget. The reality, God doesn't remember. God doesn't remember your sin. God doesn't remember who you used to be. God doesn't remember what you used to do. God only knows you clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. That's the brand new nature. That's the brand new life that you have now in Jesus. We all know the shame and guilt of sin. We all know the ugliness of sin. How beautiful to consider it then. But God doesn't see that. Not in us, not on us. He sees Jesus, us clothed in and with the beauty of His righteousness. Can you believe it? It sounds too good to be true. But it's the reminder this morning of what Jesus has done for us. It's the reminder this morning, it is true. We remember this morning that it is true what Jesus has done. He's taken upon Himself. Can you imagine it? He's taken upon Himself the ugliness of our sin. He's made Himself to be ugly in the eyes of the Father so that we can be clothed in the beauty of His righteousness, so that when God looks at us, He doesn't see the ugly of us. He sees the beauty of His Son. The reminder this morning, hold to the reminder what Jesus has done for us. Jesus, by way of His life and death and resurrection, we remember it this morning. He gives us the victory. He gives us joy. He gives us peace. He gives us the victory when the enemy outnumbers us. He gives us the victory. He gives us joy when we ought not to have joy. He gives us peace when the world would tell us our lives should be consumed with worry and fear. He gives us purpose. Divine purpose. Even eternal purpose. Jesus makes available to us the promises of God's Word. Just a couple this morning. Think for a moment. You think this morning. The promise of God that has been so dear to you. The promise of God that has sustained you. The promise of God that's encouraged you. The promise of God that you've held to through every season of life. I just share with you too that will be very familiar. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all that happens to us, you know it, is working for our good if we love God and are fitting into His plans. Jesus makes that promise available to us. Do you understand this morning? Apart from Jesus, you have no claim to that promise. Apart from Jesus, there's no guarantee that anything good is going to come out of what you're going through. Don't you find it interesting how the world wants to take hold of this promise? How there'll be good that'll come from this? Oh, I just believe it. Through every difficulty, there'll be good that'll come out in the end. That's a deception, I believe, from the devil himself. There is no guarantee. There is no promise of that for the unbeliever, but for you, my brother, for you, my sister, there is the promise of God that Jesus makes available to you. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with. It doesn't matter what you're facing. You hold to this promise that is yours. In all things, He's working for our good if we love God and are fitting into His plans. How about this from Hebrews 13? Simple enough, you know it so well. His promise, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. He never leaves. He never forsakes. He never fails us. He's always with us. You never go through an experience where you are alone. This is true. Unfortunately, it's true. There are times, seasons of life where we feel, or maybe in fact it's the reality, our family has betrayed us. Our family has forsaken us. It cuts so deep. It hurts terribly. Our friends. Maybe most unfortunate, may it never be the truth here. Even at times where it seems and maybe is the reality, the church forsakes us. The church fails us. But listen, do you understand this morning, if you're a believer, not since the day you gave your heart to Jesus have you ever been alone. Not one single day, not one single hour, not one single moment, not one single second have you ever been alone. Jesus is with you, never forsakes or fails, instead is always and only ever faithful, faithful to His word, faithful to who He is. Psalm 119 and verse 68, we read this, the Lord is good and what He does is good. He has always been faithful to be good and do good in and for you. Never has it been the case, listen to me this morning, never has it been the case that God hasn't been being good to you. It doesn't matter whether or not you could understand it. It doesn't matter whether or not you can understand it now. It doesn't matter whether or not you can see it. This is God's word. What we can understand, what we can see, I know that's an important reality to us, but the truth, that's irrelevant. God's word is true. What I can see or can't see doesn't determine truth. What I feel, what I don't feel, doesn't determine truth. Sometimes I hear that from preachers, you hear it from the preacher as well. Oh, I feel that. I understand. I get it. But that's not what makes it true. Just because you feel it doesn't make it true. God's word is true, whether you feel it or not, whether you can understand it or not. He's always been good. Always. Do you understand this morning? Do you hear me? Always. He's been working good in you and for you. Always. This is the life. This is the promise that's been made available to us because of Jesus. All because of Jesus. Who He is and what He's done for us. He's faithful to His promises. He's faithful to keep all of His promises to you. In Christ, you know it. The amen, the so be it, has been declared over every single one of God's promises. Just a reminder this morning. Hold to the reminder who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Jesus is our healer. Jesus is our provider. Jesus is our encourager, our comforter, the glory and the lifter of our heads, our strength, the one who sustains us. Jesus is the builder of a home for us in heaven. Listen, this morning we remember Jesus, the one who sets us free from the fear of death. and the one who gives us victory over death. All of that, all that Jesus is to us, all that He's done for us, all that He does for us, really it all serves as the introduction this morning, the introduction to the truth. You've been there forever, finally. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, listen now, in view of God's mercy. Can I paraphrase? In view of Jesus, who He is and what He's done for you. You remember Jesus, right? The one who's forgiven you, the one who saves you, the one who makes you brand new, the one who gives you victory, joy unspeakable, peace that passes all understanding, the one who puts a divine and eternal significance on your life. You remember Jesus, right? The one who makes available to you all the promises of God, the one who's your healer, the one who's your provider, the one who's your comforter, the one who's your life, abundant life here and now, eternal life to come. You remember Him. You remember that one, right? You remember Jesus. Listen, I urge you, brothers. Listen, I urge you, sisters, in view of God's mercy, because of Jesus, listen now, you offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Here it is, the truth now. This is your reasonable act of worship. Many translations call it spiritual worship. The God's Word translation says this is the appropriate worship. The contemporary English version says this is the most sensible way to serve and to worship God. The New Living says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that He's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. The message this morning, the truth, because of who Jesus is, because of what He's done for you. And to be honest, full disclosure, we barely scratched the surface of all that Jesus is, all that He's done. But because of that, this is the reasonable, this is the sensible, this is the logical thing, this is the appropriate thing, this is the right response, this is the true worship. You give your life to Him, a living sacrifice. The language brings us to the altar, doesn't it? The lamb, the calf, the bull that was slain, put on the altar, the sacrifice. Jesus says it this way in Matthew chapter 16. If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. This is what it is to be a living sacrifice. We lay ourselves on the altar daily. We die daily. One says this, sacrifice does not mean giving God anything. It means taking your hands off what already belongs to Him. Each of us must say, Lord, today I present myself. A sacrifice was an animal that was slain, put on the altar. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to be a living sacrifice? An altar is a place to die. When you die, you have no more rights to claim. Your wife, your husband, your children, your car, your home, your ambitions, your education, your business, it all belongs to Him. To our wants and wishes, we die. We give up everything daily for Him. And listen, we're inclined to say, that's too hard. We're inclined to say, that's too difficult. That's too much. No. No. Listen, my brother, my sister, don't believe a lie. Don't listen to a lie. Don't live in a lie. Listen to the truth this morning. That's your reasonable act of worship. Because of who Jesus is and because of what he's done for you, this is the sensible response from you. That you lay yourself down. That you put yourself on the altar. Jesus, here is my life, a living sacrifice for you. Jesus, here is my life. I lay it down. I die so that you might live in and through me. What I want to do, what I want to say, how I want to respond, what I want to chase after, I lay it all down for you. There's nothing that I have that you can't take. You can take it all. There's nothing that I want that you can't keep from me for the thing that you have for me. Whatever it is, all that I want, all that I have, I surrender it all to you. My money, my possessions, my things. Do you remember the story of the rich young ruler? The thought of giving up everything to follow Jesus. You want to follow me? Go and sell all you have and come and follow. Wow, what an amazing thing. What a difficult thing for Jesus to ask of him. What an amazing, honorable, extravagant thing for someone to do if someone were to do that, right? Only the saintliest of all the saints surely can give everything to Jesus. No. No, my brother, my sister, listen. This is your reasonable act of worship. That everything, every single thing you have, you would willingly, you would freely, you would cheerfully and joyfully give it to him. My thought this morning, in part, to literally remove a word from our Christian vocabulary as it relates to our own lives. The word is sacrifice. We use it quite often, all that we sacrifice for the Lord. Wow, what a sacrifice. Pastor, if you only knew all that I sacrifice to be here on a Sunday morning. Wow, what a sacrifice to give in the offering each service. What a sacrifice I make to be here on a Monday. To serve the poor. What a sacrifice to go and talk to my neighbor, that stranger at the grocery store. What a sacrifice to go and pray for them. What a sacrifice I make to every day read my Bible. Every day spend time in prayer. What a sacrifice for me to do that. What a sacrifice to do this. What a sacrifice to do that. I don't think we're saying the right thing. Sacrifice? No. It's your reasonable act of worship. It's the reasonable and right thing for you to do. It's the reasonable and right response when you consider what Jesus has done for you. Sacrifice? That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did for us. He sacrificed himself for us. His body broken, that's the sacrifice he made for us. His blood shed, that's the sacrifice he made for us. Sacrifice, that's what Jesus did. Anything we ever do for him, that's not sacrifice. That's our reasonable and right response to what he's done for us. That's the message this morning. The reminder of what Jesus has done for you. As we gather at the Lord's table, we partake of the bread and we remember in just a moment his body broken. We drink of the cup and remember his blood shed. We remember Jesus, all that he's done for us, all that he is to us. And in light of that, this is what we do this morning. We present our bodies to him, a living sacrifice to him. We give him our lives. We give him our everything. The truth this morning. This is your reasonable act of worship. This is true worship. This is the right and sensible response for each and every one of us. In just a moment, you're going to remember his body broken. You're going to remember his blood shed. As you hold the bread and the cup,
throughout this service, as it was mentioned, maybe even throughout the day and week, you're going to remember the sin that's been forgiven. You're going to remember the old life and how you are not that anymore. You're going to remember you've been made brand new. You're going to remember when the Lord was your healer. You're going to remember when He provided for you. You're going to remember when He sustained and strengthened you through a most difficult season. You're going to remember when He revealed Himself to you. You're going to remember when He comforted you, when He encouraged you. It's beautiful and it's wonderful to remember that, all that. But what we discover this morning, listen, my brother, listen, my sister, the truth, the right and reasonable way we respond to that, we worship. Not the worship, though, of a song. Rather, instead, the worship that is this: our lives laid on the altar. Jesus, all of me belongs completely to You. Jesus, all, everything, not one thing held back. All of me belongs completely to You. Jesus, we want to respond rightly this morning as we remember You. And so we lay our lives down, a living sacrifice. I feel really, church, that I have to do it this morning. How can I not? In just a moment, we're going to partake of the bread and the cup. But I just feel it. I have to call you to the altar. I have to. So come. Come to the altar this morning. Lay your life down before Him. Come on, come find a place of prayer. Respond this morning. I know this is just a physical place, a physical altar, as it were, within the church. And no, we're talking about more than that. We're talking about dying, not just in a few minutes on a Sunday morning. We're talking about our lives. Everything about our lives, but let this be the presentation of that. Let this be symbolic of that. Come on, come to the altar this morning. Lay your life down at the altar. Let it be a picture of what you're going to do every single moment of every single day. Jesus, I'm going to die daily. This is reasonable. This is the right thing for me to do. A sacrifice, sacrifices that I make for You. No, I'm not calling it that anymore. This is the reason. This is the right thing for me to do. This is the sensible response. Come on, come and lay yourself at the altar this morning. Come and find a place of prayer just for a moment. We're going to partake of communion in just a minute. But before we do that, I just sense that we have to do it. How can we not? How can we not come to the altar this morning? Oh, we come to the altar this morning. We lay our lives down, Jesus. We present our lives to You, a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. All of me, Jesus. All of me belongs completely to You. All of me. I hold nothing back. I surrender it all, Jesus, to You. All to You. Completely to You. Come on, my brother, my sister, you sense it. I know you do, even as I do. The Lord invites you to die this morning. That you die to yourself. That you die to your wants and your wishes. Lay it at the altar, Jesus. It's Yours. I give it to You. This is the reasonable, this is the right thing for me to do. To give You my life. Everything, everything. All of me belongs completely to You. Make your life to be a living sacrifice to Him this morning. Make your life to be a living sacrifice to Him. We lay ourselves on the altar this morning. We lay ourselves on the altar this morning, Jesus. This is what we do this morning. This is our cry. Jesus, have your way. We lay our way down. Lord, have your way. Have your way. Oh, we surrender to you, Jesus. We surrender to you. Would you just do this morning, just before we partake together of the bread and the cup? It's how I said it. It's how I would pray it. Would you make it your own prayer? Use your own words, however you would say it. Jesus, all of me belongs completely to you. Use those words. Maybe use the words that we just heard. Jesus, I surrender. I surrender. Have your way in me. However you would pray it this morning, be the living sacrifice. Lay your life down, my brother, my sister. Listen now, the truth. It's your reasonable act of worship. All that Jesus is, all that he's done for you. Listen, his broken body, his shed blood. This is the reasonable response to that. Jesus, all of me belongs completely to you. Jesus, would you help us in that this morning? As we hear it sung just a moment ago, would you help us to surrender? Would you help us to relinquish our way to take your way? Would you help that it really is true, not just something said on a Sunday morning, but something that's lived every moment of our lives? Jesus, all of me belongs completely to you. Would you help? And Lord, this what we do because we remember today your body that was broken for us. Would you thank him? Would you thank Jesus this morning for his body that was broken for you? Hallelujah. Would you thank him for healing that is yours because of the stripes he bore on his back? You are healed, my brother. You're healed, my sister. By his wounds you are. Jesus, be the healer in this room this morning, I pray. Even as we partake this morning of this bread, in Jesus' name, let's partake the bread together. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. And we thank you, Jesus, for your blood that was shed. We thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you that you forgave us and that you forgive us. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's partake of the cup together. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Would you lift your hands and thank Jesus? This is what we hear right now. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. You set us free. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. You made us brand new. You've saved us. You've forgiven us. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, tell him you love him. Come on. Just once more before we go, tell him you love him. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've been so good to us. You've done so much to us. No wonder the living sacrifice, our reasonable act of worship. Help us to worship you well. Help us to die daily. Help us to be a living sacrifice. Come on now, lift your hands and receive his blessing this morning. As under shepherd, the great shepherd, as high priest of this assembly, I declare over you the blessing of the Lord. Listen now. The Lord bless you and keep you. It's the blessing of the Lord. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. And the Lord turn to you and give to you his peace. In Jesus' name, would you receive that blessing? Would you say amen? Amen, amen and amen. God bless you this morning.